Da-da-da-da. Hello, and welcome to the Wednesday podcast here on Post Show Recaps. My name is Marissa Garza, and I'm happy to be back in your pod feeds talking to you about the kooky, spooky, mysterious show Wednesday on Netflix. And of course, every host needs a co-host, or should we say ghost host. And who do I see in my crystal ball? Could it be? Is it she? Yes, it's LaTanya Starks, everyone. LaTanya, how are you?
Ghost hosting it up with the best of them. That's me. I'm doing great. The club's going up on a Wednesday. On a Wednesday this time, because we are discussing the show of the day. Really.
Quite literally.
Wednesday. I freaking love Jenna Ortega. I've been a fan of her since You.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think was like her first role.
She also was Young Jane in Jane the Virgin.
She was. I never saw that show.
Oh, that's
for lead cast reasons.
Yes, understood. Yes, yeah. Unfortunately, that unfolded whilst watching the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are here talking about Wednesday here on Netflix. Just before we're going to talk a lot about Adam's Family, but before we get into it, I do just want to break out some housekeeping so that everyone kind of knows what's up here. This pod will be coming out aptly on Wednesdays or Fridays or around that time, given the holidays of it all. Mm-hmm. And you can find all of our episodes in the Binge Show feed, which is at www.postshowrecaps.com/binge. And while this is a binge watch, most of you have probably binged it already by the time you're listening to this. We are not. We are taking a different approach. We are podcasting episode by episode due to the mysterious nature of the show.
Yes. I think it's really cool. This is something that PSR has taken to doing lately. And I am a fan of it. I like the idea of getting to kind of live with the mystery of the show and not just consume it all in one big batch. There are things that I'm going to want to, I bet, by episode two, just watch it all the way through. But they're doing this with 1899 as well. I'm just happy to let it like flow and see what goes on. Very promising start too.
Yes, agreed. It set up some mystery for sure.
Yeah.
LaTanya, what is your history with the Addams Family? When did you become aware of them?
So I was recently, and I'll plug this later, I was recently on the Shit 90s pod. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the movie The Addams Family aptly. That dropped today for anyone interested. We talked a lot about our kind of Addams Family origin stories. Mine started when I was quite young watching the black and white version.
TV show.
Yeah, the TV show on like Nick at Night.
Yes.
Which was just appointment television. And they would also play some of those episodes during the day. And I always like, I think that Morticia Addams is a fashion icon. Have always loved Wednesday and every iteration, but especially going to the Addams Family movie, which happened in the 90s and starred Christina Ricci as Wednesday, just an iconic performance. Everybody in that movie is giving 111%, and it's so fun to watch. So I hadn't rewatched that movie for maybe 20 years or more. So seeing it again for the first time with like adult eyes was really cool. And all of the humor, even the CGI holds up in that movie. I loved Wednesday, like became obsessed with Wednesday. I would dress as her for Halloween sometimes. So like my Halloween rotation went, the Wicked Witch of the East or West, Wicked Witch of the West. Glinda the Good Witch, Dorothy, and Wednesday. That's what kind of child I was. I just really liked the pigtail wig. It was great. And then, you know, just kind of like Christina Ricci and I are around the same age. We were around the same age as Christina Ricci. So just kind of like watching her grow up and watching her performance, and also the legendary Raul Julia, who passed away sadly from cancer not long after the second movie came out, if I'm not mistaken. It could have been even before it was released.
It was close to it, I think.
Yeah. But yeah, just like, you know, and you can't go wrong with casting with the casting of Morticia, in my opinion.
With Angelica Houston, with Angelica in the movie.
Houston, yeah. Yeah. It's just like there and the sexual chemistry, like, which is something you notice as you're older and watch the movie, between Morticia and Gomez is like couples goals.
Yeah.
Do I have some thoughts about the casting yes. of the parents in this show? I do, and we can talk about it. But yeah, I've loved the Addams Family since I was a wee bairn. What about you?
Yeah, so I definitely grew up watching the films in the 90s. My favorite is the second,
the one, second
one with
is the
camp
best one.
And mm-hmm. Thanksgiving and all yep. of that. But I knew Wednesday had a place in my heart with the line, she walks up to a bunch of Girl Scouts and asks if the Girl Scout cookies are made with real Girl Scouts. And as a third generation Girl Scout, I was like, oh my gosh, that's hilarious. That was like my
was
favorite
so
line
funny.
Ever. So I like, that's how I got into the Addams Family, but I too, you know, had Nick at Night was definitely something that was on in my childhood as well. I would always get confused between the Addams Family and the Munsters.
Munsters.
Because,
yes.
you know,
similar vibes.
But but I was
this podcast is gonna be so difficult for us.
I was surprised when I was looking up like the history, because I knew about the TV show, but I didn't know that the Addams Family was actually a cartoon in the New Yorker starting all the way back in 1938.
Wild.
Running all the way through 1964 when it got picked up as a TV show. So this family has been part of like American culture for a very, very long time.
It really has been. And it's very interesting how they've fixed the casting, essentially. Like, are there casting issues that I have so far? A little bit. But I just mean in terms of making someone named Gomez Latinx.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and Jenny Ortega being the star. Jury's still out. Is Catherine Zeta-Jones Latinx or just Welsh?
Really Welsh.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I know she had her stint in Zorro, but
right.
I don't think she actually.
I think the dark hair and the Zeta are doing a lot for her in Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I had no idea that it was a New Yorker cartoon. I was actually thinking about that while watching this first episode of what the origin story of the Addams Family was, just because this take is such a different and unique animal as compared to the movies
yeah.
that we got in the 90s of the family, or even anything that came before it, because we're living in a supernatural world here, people. There are werewolves and vampires
powers.
And
yeah.
sirens and yeah. And she has the ability to see the future. That's wild. I don't think that was in any of the old stuff, was it?
No, they were just creepy and kooky and mysterious.
Mm. And spooky.
And spooky. Yeah. So this is Tim Burton's first take on the franchise, which, you know, going back on it, I was like, really? Wow, he avoided this for that long? This is like his origin story, I think.
I know.
In this family. Is he a cousin, a long lost relative of the Gomez's?
I know. I always find it so odd, though. Like, when I found out that this was going to be a series, I was like, yes, I'm in. Because even like there's a woman, I can't remember her name, but she played Wednesday in like a little short TV series on Netflix, on YouTube, I mean, sorry, on YouTube.
Mm.
And it was really funny, like a really funny take. It was just basically like what would happen if Wednesday Addams grew up and had to like live life in the world surrounded by normies, as they're called.
Yeah
Really funny stuff. But yeah, I didn't like none of the supernatural stuff was there, and I'm really enjoying this. But the Tim Burton thing I was gonna say is that Tim Burton has been a little weirdly outspoken in the past about casting people of color.
Yes.
Like he said, he was talking about, you know, he obviously watched a lot of black and white television in the same way that we did. Like, it definitely influences you as you're growing up. And there was some television show he was talking about where there was like I think like a black character was introduced for maybe a single episode, and he went on a rant about how he like it was just so distracting to have a person of color just suddenly there that he didn't think it added anything. And I was like, all right, what's the cognitive dissonance here?
I mean, like, I don't know the man,
right?
But I know he has an aesthetic, so yes. I know he's like. But that does not mean, as we've seen in other properties and other franchises throughout this year in 2022, that there isn't a place for people of color within those aesthetics. And so this is something that I am looking at the show with this lens and knowing this information, because I think, especially in this first episode, there are a couple of places where I think he had some opportunity to kind of challenge himself and challenge his own aesthetic here, because this is a show about outcasts and marginalized communities, and there's a bunch of people here that could be included in this conversation.
I know, and I found the quote. This is from an article by the Washington Post from 2016 called "Tim Burton Explains Why His Movies Are Full of White People." And the quote is, "I remember back when I was a child watching the Brady Bunch and they started to get all politically correct. Like, okay, let's have an Asian child and a black. I used to get more offended by just more offended than that. I grew up watching blaxploitation movies, right? And I said, that's great. I didn't go like, okay, there should be more white people in these movies." So the idea that this cast is as diverse as it is.
I will say, yes, that is nice to see some of those things. But there is also a coloration conversation within the Latinx community that needs to also be talked about and has been talked about in regards to Wakanda Forever, which I've yet to see, so no spoilers. But, you know, that is something that is throughout all of Latin America, a conversation that is still. So while we are being represented by white Latine people in this instance,
exactly. Very like could pass for white, if not just white in the case of Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yes.
Colorism is an issue that affects many communities. I did see that Tanakh Huerta interview where he was speaking so eloquently and also hotly about the colorism, that the challenge he faced growing up in his own home. And that's so true. Like, that's very true to life. That's something that I can identify with for sure, because, you know, racism does indeed start in the home. I did not mean to get us down this path.
It's okay. I think it's important for people to kind of know what's in our brains as we're like watching the show. So I just, you know, everyone listening out there, I am kind of, this is in the back of my head. I'm totally enjoying like the Addams Family of it all.
Right.
But there, like I mentioned, there are a couple of instances, which I'll point out in our recap, where I just think, you know, maybe we could have, and I think it's an important conversation for this genre of content. So I think it's fine that we took a little off ramp here.
I'm glad that you're with me on this. I know that like a lot of people are like, oh, Latanya's gonna be on this podcast, so it's gonna be all about race. But that's
life is, so it's
That's very true. It's just something that I think is important to talk about in terms of the landscape that we're presented, because it's very much one of those things where we are taught to identify like white as the universal. We've been, meaning me and you have been identifying with white people in movies for centuries.
Yeah.
Yet like for some reason, it almost seems like it's impossible for like, you know, people of color who have darker complexions to embody that lived experience that people can identify with. And that says more about the watcher than it does the viewer and the creator a lot of the times than it does about even the show.
Yes. Yes. This for the Mediapedia listeners out there, this may be an upcoming topic. So if you are interested in fleshing out that conversation, that's probably where we will do that part.
Yeah. And if you haven't turned off already, we're going to talk about the show now.
Oh, it's okay. But outside of that, Tim Burton, besides his comments, I have had a love-hate relationship with his content. Like, sometimes I think it's great, sometimes I think it's not so great, but yeah. Edward Scissorhands will always have a place in my childhood, because that was another movie that came out around the same time as The Addams Family.
Yes.
And it was the first time I was exposed between The Addams Family and Edward Scissorhands. It even though it was a homogeneous selection of people, it did get me to think that people can have similar values if they look different as a kid.
Exactly.
And so I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was. And there are a lot of Tim Burton movies that I've really enjoyed as well. Just because no one really sees the world the way Tim Burton does. And so it's just really interesting. Plus, when he was married to Helena Bonham Carter, they had all of these great collaborations together. And
including,
always
similar hairstyles.
Yes. So always include anything with Helena Bonham Carter. And I'm there. But yeah, I think that this is going to be really interesting, because he's the executive producer on this show, right? He's not directing,
I believe,
and writing.
So, yeah.
So maybe he got some other voices in there for this one.
He's got a couple. I think he directed 4 episodes throughout the season. So he's got his hands in it a little bit.
Got it.
All right. Well, that is our setup for the first episode of Wednesday on Netflix. So let's jump right into it. This episode is titled Wednesday's Child is Full of Woe. So kicking it off strong.
Just delightful.
And I don't know about your general thoughts on the pilot. I thought this set us up pretty well. We get a good understanding of who Wednesday is, what her motivations are. Mm-hmm. And we also have this external monster in the woods thing to be dealing with.
Yeah. Giant, Gigantor Gollum, as I like to call it. I don't know what that was.
We don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. I love that there are several mysteries that are going to be explored this season. I'm interested in learning why people think that Gomez is a murderer.
Agreed.
I
murder his old self. Just kidding.
Yeah, seriously. I am interested in whenever Uncle Fester shows up, because Fred Armiston is playing Uncle Fester, and he's just hilarious. And I really like the idea of an intrepid young woman out there solving mysteries, because she has a very mysterious mind of her own, and we know she's an author.
Yep.
She's written 3 books already.
3 whole books.
I'm struggling to write the first one. So
I'm not even writing, I'm just talking. This is my book, my collection podcast.
This is my book. Everyone come listen to my book on tape. Here's a literal tape. But yeah, I think that the pilot really did set us up very well. It gave us the landscape of all of the characters that we're going to be hanging out with. I'm on Mole Patrol for sure, because someone or maybe even more than one person definitely sus in this episode. I'm looking at you, Gwendolyn Christie.
Her? She would never.
Yeah, right. also looking at Christina Ricci's character, just feeding those Venus flytraps. Huge Venus flytraps, by the
way.
They
were pretty big.
Hopefully they weren't real, because I don't like the idea of a carnivorous flower being that large.
She's got some Miracle-Grow happening there.
Definitely. She can come and teach me how to grow a plant. I killed an unkillable plant, people. For those of you all who have been around the Discord for a very long time, you'll know of Dorothy, my plant, named after, of course, Dorothy Gale. Dorothy's dead. Poor Dorothy is gone. Aww. So I tried really hard, and it worked for a while, and then I just forgot to water her.
It happens.
So hopefully it seems like Christina Ricci is taking way better care of her myriad plants than I was able to take care of my single, you shouldn't be able to kill this, killed plant.
I've accidentally murdered a couple of myself. Yeah. Of plants.
Of plants. And it all comes out. You think that she's so sweet and innocent. And then all of a sudden she admits to murder on a podcast.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about how we get introduced into Wednesday. So this the whole series opens. The opening shot here is at Nancy Reagan High School, which sets the vibe for me like 100%.
So like good.
It's a, you know, just a beautiful place setting. And then it's narrated by Wednesday, and she gives what I think is an interesting and accurate take of the American education system.
Yes, very.
She says, I'm not sure whose idea it was to put hundreds of adolescent adults in underfunded schools and have them be run by people whose dreams were crushed years ago. But I admire the sadism.
Yeah, like, I admire the sadism.
Like that totally just between the opening shot and that line, I think you immediately know what we're in for.
Yes, you definitely do. And just like hearing little Wednesday's heels click across the floor as she's walking down the hall in slow motion, everybody around her, even the teachers, are mean mugging her, like Allison looking at Rhaenyra walking to a funeral, you know?
Over the shoulder glare.
Just like, just disdain and disgust from even the teachers.
Yes.
It's wild, but very accurate of what it's like to be in any way different in a high school.
Yeah.
When really people need to just realize everyone is different in their own way, and we just gotta, like, you know, love each other's differences.
Especially because life ends up sometimes being a perpetual high school situation. So it's always so a good, it's a good lesson.
Yeah.
And Wednesday is walking through the hall. She comes upon her locker, which has, you know, some writing on it, and turns out that her brother Pugsley has been stuffed in the locker. Mm. And she like is upset, of course, because the only person who can be mean to Pugsley is Wednesday.
Yep.
And so when she touches Pugsley, she gets this vision. And this is where we immediately as an audience know, like, this Wednesday is different than the other Wednesdays
right.
that we've come across, because she has this vision and she can automatically see who did this. Mm-hmm. To her brother. And turns out it was the water polo team.
Of course it is.
And so she goes and has her revenge by dropping a bunch of piranhas in the swimming pool.
I don't know why.
Because it's from Finding Nemo, when the little girl's like, I want a piranha.
Oh, I remember that now. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. Piranhas are always a great idea, especially to loose in a pool when people are being mean. I love that Wednesday describes her visions as like electroshock therapy, but without like the good tingles or whatever.
Yeah.
That looks really like a jarring experience to have.
Like her head goes back.
Yeah.
She's like really into it. And she says in this opening scene, she's like, these just started happening. So she's still getting used to not only seeing things, but what it feels like when she's having these visions.
Yeah. And in these types of tales, supernatural powers often start to show themselves when the person is coming of age and growing up. Like with puberty comes superpowers, essentially.
That's how it works.
Yeah. That's how it worked for us.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
After that scene, we get the credits. Was there anything out of here that was of note for you?
So honestly, I would like to rewatch the credit sequence. Like I'm not going to skip it because I think it's just visually stunning, for one.
Yeah, it's definitely, for me, it was like vibes. It set the vibe.
Yeah, for sure. But I think that I didn't go into the show expecting that the things in the credits might mean something. And
I
now,
either, yeah.
And now I definitely need to rewatch the credit scene before we podcast again so that I can do some sleuthing and see whether or not there's like stuff that they're telling us about that we don't know, that are clues.
For me, I thought it was very, like I said, vibes, but then it was also cool to see that Danny Elfman, who has long collaborated with Tim Burton on music, was doing the music for this series as well. So
Danny Elfman's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it turns out after her little stint with the Piranhas, she Wednesday's getting sent to a new school. So we see her in the car, and this is her first introduction to Gomez and Morticia in the car. Gomez being not Raul Julia
in
this situation. Gomez is being played by
Luis Guzman.
Yeah, thank you. Luis Guzman. And Morticia is being played by Catherine Zeta-Jones. They are Gomez and Morticia-ing it up, but I'm just going to come out and say it hits different. It's not the same.
It's not the same. Like, these people clearly have no chemistry.
Yeah.
And I get what Catherine Zeta-Jones is doing with her performance. I don't understand.
Agreed.
What Luis Guzman is doing. I will tell you that Luis Guzman, though, is the secret to winning the movie game all the time.
So, oh, yeah.
If you all ever play that game where I'm not going to explain it. You can Google it. But like, just know that that the secret is Luis Guzman, because he has been in so many movies and TV shows.
He gets that paycheck, man.
Yeah, he works. But like, not necessarily so far as Gomez for me. Yeah. Like, Gomez is supposed to be like this Lothario kind of guy that is like hyper dashing. Like, I'm not trying to put this actor down at all. I don't want it to come off as me putting down the actor. It's just that, like, this doesn't scream Gomez to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe we'll find out more as the series goes on in terms of like why Gomez is considered a possible murderer, a little bit more into Luis Guzman's portrayal of Gomez. Maybe it'll make a little bit more sense. But from where I'm coming from, he's like, Gomez is like you said, this Lothario, but he's also got this like weird inventor side, kind of like the dad in Mrs. Maisel, like where he's like just really into like trying new things, but he also like has this profound love of family.
Right.
And so I think like some of that's coming through, but I need a little bit more as the series goes on.
I do too. I feel like, especially in that scene in the car.
Yes.
We have what are the... yes, exactly. Especially like with the seat facing...
Yeah.
Like they're driving around in a hearse, essentially, with the seat, one seat facing the other seat. And first of all, it's stop making out in front of your children. You can...
Well, yeah, I would say it is sometimes healthy for children to see a loving relationship.
Oh, for sure.
But sometimes maybe not.
Sometimes it's bordering on just plain weird.
Yeah.
Like they get the part right where, and this was true in the movies, where Gomez and Morticia often like forgot there were other people in the room because they only really had eyes for each other. But it's just kind of wild it's just a little bit wild for
Agreed.
Me.
Agreed.
And the casting doesn't land so much. And I also want to see more from Catherine Zeta-Jones than just an Angelica Houston impression.
She's doing a good one, but yeah, we need a little bit more.
Yeah.
To differentiate her from Angelica Houston's portrayal. In the car, we learn Wednesday is headed out to Nevermore, which is a boarding school for outcasts and misfits where Morticia met Gomez. So they are like super excited. But Wednesday's having none of it. She's like, I have no interest in following your footsteps. I don't understand. And Morticia's like, well, the boy at the other school was going to file attempted murder charges. What did you want us to do? It's like, I would have been really embarrassed because it would tell everyone I failed to get the job done.
I failed at murder. Right. That was really great. And then we learn later that the guy lost a testicle.
Yeah. like, she's like, I did the world a service.
I'm not going to disagree. You know? Not that every man necessarily, like, procreates. But, you know, just to take the opportunity off the table. I mean, you can still have kids with one testicle.
It's
also
true. Yeah. I mean,
she only half got the job done.
And then they pull up to Nevermore. Nevermore looks like, I think, exactly how you'd expect it to look, like a spooky boarding house with the big, huge gates. And we are introduced to Principal Weems, who's played by Gwendolyn Christie. And she is like super dressed in white. So obviously she's automatically sus.
Right. Yes. This is also, have you seen The Sandman yet?
I have seen The Sandman.
Yeah. Going from playing Brienne of Tarth, who we all know and love, noble hero goddess, who really does show you like what a man will do to you. That woman was standing outside and at Winterfell during winter in not but a dressing gown, begging this man to stay with her when we last saw her, essentially. And then she played Lucifer Morningstar in The Sandman. Yeah. So I her villainous side is definitely there and can come out. And the way that she is just so smiley, like she has a secret.
Yeah, well, and we learn a little bit, like, she was roommates with Morticia when Morticia was there, so there's definitely something between them. And, you know, Principal Weems is, like, asking a little bit about Wednesday, thinking that she's named Wednesday because she was born on Wednesday, and Wednesday immediately corrects her, no, I was born on Friday the 13th. And this is where we learn that Morticia named her after a line in her favorite nursery rhyme that is supposed to tell the child's character or future based on the day of birth. And so I looked it up. Would you like to hear the entirety of the nursery rhyme?
You know I do.
Monday's child is fair of face. Tuesday's child is full of grace. Wednesday's child is full of woe. Thursday's child has far to go. Wednesday's child is loving and giving. Saturday's child works hard for a living. And the child born on the Sabbath day is bonny, blithe, good, and gay. I am a Tuesday child.
I'm looking up. Oh, I too am a Tuesday child.
We are full of grace.
Look at that. That makes total sense. I always walk around saying, hail me, full of grace. not Grace the podcast.
Not Grace. Yeah, not Grace. Yeah, different Grace.
I'm just full up on Grace. I'm done with her.
Yeah, so I thought this was interesting. I mean, aptly named. Wednesday is living up to her child full of woe.
She loves it.
Yes.
Yeah. She loves her name, and I'm excited about it. But yeah, we were so close to being full of woe.
so close. I was born at night, too, so it was pretty close.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was born at 2:41 p.m., which is just a random-ass time to be
right
born.
Before time to television, so I feel as though it works out.
Yeah, there you go.
We learn, like I mentioned, that Wednesday is assigned to Morticia's dorm, which is known as Ophelia Hall. And again, Wednesday, like, she really does not like her parents. She has some issues here because she turns around and is like, correct me if I'm wrong, but Ophelia is the one that kills herself after being driven mad by her family, right? Like, that's what's happening. So she's got some parent issues happening.
That's the other thing that's weird, because in the movies, the family is like one big cohesive unit.
Right.
And they are ride or die for each other. I get that they're probably expressing, because they have this whole like therapy arc that's happening, which I think is very interesting.
Right.
And great to put in a show. That young people should be going, everyone should be going to therapy. And young people especially need a little therapizing sometimes, when they are confronted with things that really are like too complicated for their young understanding. Well, and they're like not processing it well.
Major time of change, too.
It is. So I get that they're playing this more for the kind of disgruntled teenager angle. But it is completely a different tone than the Wednesday that we see, who is just as disgruntled, but not mean to her family.
Right.
Except, you know, Pugsley, but that's okay because they're having fun.
Yeah. Soon after, we are introduced to her roommate, Enid Sinclair. And like, Enid is the total opposite to Wednesday. She's got like rainbow colors all over the room. And like, Morticia's like, well, Wednesday's a little allergic to color. I don't know about you, but I got big like Elphaba and Glenda vibes from Wicked here. Like, I just wanted her to start singing Popular, you know, like, what I picked up.
I picked up those vibes as well. I think that the set decoration in this show is fantastic because, first of all, that room is really cool. I'd be really upset if I got any roommate. I don't care how much I end up liking them, because having that room all to yourself looks dope. And it's got its own like little terrace too, which is awesome.
If you're going to go to boarding school, well, I mean, you lucked out there.
Most boarding schools have very nice grounds. I've been to some high schools before where I'm just like, wow, this is almost as good as my university. Like, this is wild that this is your property. But yeah, her roommate is kind of sugar and spice and everything nice and tons of color everywhere. Like, even her nails are all different colors.
Yeah.
And the way that the room is decorated is just such a reflection of that. And I just love when they revert it. A little, like half of it anyway. Yes. Yeah. And you see the clear distinction between Wednesday and her roommate's personality. It's really cool.
Yeah, I think the set design does a lot of talking in this show a lot. Enid takes Wednesday on a bit of a tour and explains that Nevermore was started in 1791 as a school for outcasts and marginalized groups. This is where I'm like, Tim, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting take here, Timothy. Timothy. Yeah. It's like, giving her a little tour and says, you know, this is the quad. Wednesday just it's like, it's a pentagon. Like, it is not a quad in any way, shape, or form.
It's a pentagon. I love the Mean Girls rundown.
Yeah, right. And we get like all of the groups. We've got the Fangs, the Furs, the Stoners, and the Scales. So there's definitely like that whole like lunch, like Mean Girls lunchroom vibe happening.
And the Stoners are called Stoners because they have like the snake thing. The Medea. Is it Medea?
I think so. Medusa.
Medusa, thank you. They have the because we saw that one guy who came over to like talk shit about Wednesday, who was right there. And we see like snakes coming out from under his hat.
Yeah.
So I think that's really funny that they call them Stoners, even though they're also actually stoners as well.
You know, when it works, it works.
It does.
Yeah. So we've got vampires, which are the Fangs, werewolves, which are the Furs, Stoners, which are the Medusas, and then sirens, which are the Scales.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, it's quite clicky. And Enid's like encouraging Wednesday to get on social media so she can know all of the things. And we find out that Enid is like the gossip girl of Nevermore because she's got her own vlog that like explains everything that's happening.
It. Yeah, like that. I always think that the whole point of like writing a gossip blog is that it's anonymous, because there are going to be people coming after you for sharing their gossip. But it seems like she lives pretty harmoniously with the rest of this community somehow.
Well,
even though
I think
she's the one spreading all the tea.
Well, I mean, we find out later in the episode that she's a bit of a late bloomer. So I wonder if this is like her compensating like for wanting to fit in. Like, I have something that you need, which is information.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. Being a late werewolf bloomer must be a very difficult thing indeed.
Indeed. I mean, like, as a human late bloomer, I can kind of camouflage and blend into society a little bit. But as a late bloomer werewolf, I mean, there are some things that you just got to be able to do, I guess.
I know. And also, it's all pack mentality. So if you are not part of that pack, then what do? I guess you make friends with Wednesday.
I guess. Yeah. Well, after the tour, it is time for the Addams family to say their goodbyes. Morticia sends the boys to the car. Pugsley gives Wednesday a hug. Her version of a goodbye is, Pugsley, you won't make it more than 2 weeks. And he's like, I'll miss you too. So good. And this is where we see a couple, like, I definitely at this point have picked up that, like, the major issue here is between Morticia and Wednesday.
Yes.
Because Morticia warns her, you're like, no running away. I've told the whole family the minute you show up at the doorstep, like, to call me. And sometimes, like, you're going to be fine, but sometimes you get in your own way. Mm-hmm. And she's went as far as to make an obsidian charm that helps with visions.
Yeah.
And it has an M, which can also be a W.
I thought that was very sweet.
I thought so too.
And of course, it, typical teenage snark. Wednesday is just like, I'm not going to end up like you. I'm not going to be like queen of the black prom or like
a housewife.
Yeah. I'm like, Wednesday, jeez.
One thing I always appreciated about the Addams Family, though, was like it took like that very well to do, well off family, and kind of like grounded it in this, you know. Weird kookiness,
because they definitely had to pay some people off to get those people to not file first degree attempted murder charges.
And she leaves.
First attempted, it's just attempted murder. Like, my lawyer brain is like, shut up. There's no first degree attempted murder. We'll invent it.
Morticia leaves Wednesday with a crystal ball so that they can call her next Sunday, which I thought was adorable. It comes in like this huge case. I thought it was great.
I love that case.
Yeah.
That would make a great like geometrical design purse, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it.
And on the way out, Gomez, the only flash we get to his inventorness is in the car. He flips the switch and out from the bottom of the car comes our good friend Thing.
Yeah. Thing has seen better days.
Thing is, yeah. He, you know, when you were talking about the movie, I don't think the technology is much different other than the rendering of the hand.
Yeah. Like,
you know,
it's not, the technology even in the movie though is not bad.
No.
But yeah, the technology doesn't seem much different. It just seems like they've probably got a person in a green suit. And all they do is like, you know, use that hand. But it's just wild to see what Thing has been through, because there's just stitches everywhere and
scars.
Yeah, and scars. So what's happened, Thing?
Maybe Thing is a clue in the Gomez murder mystery.
Ooh. Well, Thing is now officially pledged to Wednesday.
Yeah, well, not yet, but yes. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. In this episode, yeah.
Yes. So we'll find out what Thing knows.
Yeah, Thing knows a thing or two.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, while all this was happening, we did get a glimpse that something weird is happening out there in the woods. A hiker was dropped off, and this lady like warns them, like, you know, this is right outside Nevermore. He's like, don't worry about it. Turns out he should have been worried.
Yeah.
Because he ends up like getting completely dismembered.
Yeah. Like torn to bits.
Yeah. Like legs, other places, arms, other places, yeah. Everything. And we learned through a conversation with the sheriff and a police officer that this is not the only attack like this that has happened recently. So this is something that's been going on for a while. The sheriff wants to tell everyone it's a bear, but he of course thinks it has to do with Nevermore. Of course.
Of course. This scene a little bit makes me like drives me crazy, because they're standing there in the pouring rain. And this dude has a hat on, and this woman is just getting devoured, just drenched by this rain, to a point where it looks uncomfortable for the actress, and the fact that they have to endure probably multiple takes of this. Like, it really does seem like, you know, are like umbrellas not allowed in the police force?
Or at least get the woman a hat.
Get a hat. Like, what's going on? And everyone knows that, like, you know, like our hair and water, but like it's just not great. It just kind of ruins whatever style that you had that day. So, you know, that part of the scene bothered me. But what can you expect about a scene with police?
I was like, intently listening to see if there is any commentary about the police that was happening. We'll have to see how it plays out.
It's subtly happening, I think.
I think so, for sure. Too. Yep. Back at Nevermore, we've got Wednesday redecorating the room, and this is where she learns it is writing hour. It is time to write, and we are introduced to Miss Thornhill, played by Christina Ricci. I was so excited to see
her. Yes. Oh, I love Christina Ricci. She has worked consistently since being in the Addams Family as a kid, because she just has that spark. She's such a great character actress, too. I think a lot of people most recently have seen her in the fantastic show Yellow Jackets, mm-hmm. that I'm just anxiously awaiting its return at this point. But yeah, seeing her show up there is all very meta, but very cute. I love the detail that she brings Wednesday, a black Dahlia.
Right?
So good. And I was like, oh, that's also my favorite unsolved murder.
It was very fitting because, of course, you know, she would know Wednesday. It was like a nice little like call out, call back. Yeah. And also, you know, the fact that she's in this dorm mom role of like being, you know, perhaps a sus guide through life.
Maybe sus.
But maybe also an ally we don't know yet.
Right.
But she does let the girls know about the rules. You go to bed at 10. There's no loud music. There's no boys. Mm-hmm. And if you go to Jerrica, don't be weird. So we know
that. Try really hard.
When there are rules stated, they will most definitely be broken.
Yes, for sure. Maybe even by the people that set the rules.
Maybe. All right. Then we get to see Wednesday in some action here as she goes into fencing class. Like, completely dressed in black. Everybody else is in white. She's in black, staying true to who she is. And she walks like through the middle. I don't know fencing, so I don't really know what to call it, but like the fencing lane. Like,
sure.
She like,
I too have no clue what fencing even.
I watch it in the Olympics, people. But I don't know. I don't know anything else outside of that.
I know parry, thrust, parry.
So she walks through everyone and she soon realizes that Bianca, the siren, is like the queen bee here and someone that, you know, has just pushed Rowan, who's kind of like the nerd in the situation, mm-hmm. Down to the ground. And so Wednesday challenges Bianca to a regular fencing bout, but then turns it into a military challenge where the first person who can draw blood wins.
Yeah,
surprisingly,
which is just a wild thing for a teacher to allow,
right? Yeah, the teacher's, you know, like, yeah, go for it.
Like, yeah, it's up to you, Bianca, if you, whether or not you want to draw blood, in this school.
Yeah, yeah. Which she does. Like, she does. Yeah. She busts Wednesday here. I would have to say, fantastic. You know, aerial like. Situations, like,
yes.
Good stunts happening in
really
this
good stunts fencing. And I like when they do take their helmets off though, because you get to see how much these actors have like trained to do this.
Yes.
Yeah. Jenny Ortega, who I love, trained to do quite a few things for this show, including playing the cello.
Oh, nice. So after she has, you know, she gets scratched on the forehead. That's the blood that is drawn. Nothing too major, but still enough to go to the nurse. And mm-hmm. this is where she finds out that Rowan, who was Bianca's opponent before Wednesday,
right.
Sees himself as the outcast of outcasts. And at first I was like, oh, that's nice. Like, not that's nice, but oh, you know, I felt sympathy and pity for him, which should have been a sign for me as a watcher of television.
Yeah, I know. It was not. It was not. I was totally shocked. You know, maybe it was just because it was too early in the morning and my TV brain hadn't turned on yet. But yeah, I was totally shocked by the later heel turn of this character,
right?
In particular. It's always the one, it's always the quiet ones, as Wednesday mm-hmm. says. It's always the ones that you medium least suspect.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And just as she gets out of the nurse's floor, it's not really an office, you know, it's a like nurses something. She walks outside, and like a stone gargoyle is pushed over the edge and almost hits her. But she's saved by someone named Xavier Thorpe, who of course is connected to the Addams family.
Of course, because everyone in this school is apparently connected to the Addams family.
Yeah.
I love this little story that they tell here, because it's not just a situation wherein someone like chivalry takes over and the guy saves the girl, you know?
Yeah, I did like the call out though by Wednesday when she said, "You were guided by chivalry, you mean the tool of the patriarchy to make you think that you were." Like, you tell him Wednesday. Tell him.
Wednesday's my kind of lady.
Yeah. And, you know, finds out that Xavier and Wednesday have met before at his godmother's funeral or her godmother's funeral. They played hide and seek in a coffin, obviously. Right. And Wednesday ended up saving him in that situation.
So. Yeah. What a way to save a life. I heard muffled screams. I thought it was your like aunt returning from the dead or whatever. Also, you know, I don't know what kind of funerals they're having, but you don't just get to go there while they cremate a body.
I mean, not in our universe.
Anyone can just press that red stop button in the Wednesday universe, but that's not how funerals work. It's fine. It doesn't matter. It ultimately doesn't
matter. Good fact check.
Thanks.
I think this is where, after like scenes of lurking in the background, King is finally reunited with Wednesday, and she's like, "Listen, you got two choices. I'll either lock you in this drawer for the rest of the semester, you can pledge your undying loyalty to me, which means help me escape from this place."
Exactly. It's pretty wild the things that she threatens to do to this poor hand.
Like, what is the trauma story of Thing here? Like, I really need to know.
I need to know more backstory about Thing. Is there a Mrs. Thing or another Mr. Thing?
Like, well, there's got to be another hand, right?
Right. What happened here?
Well, in the movies, wasn't Thing and Uncle Fester were like together, not like together like romantically, but they were.
Oh,
like,
I was like, what movie did you watch?
It's a different one. But because I remember Thing did not like Joan Cusack in this argument, which was like that movie. I think I'm going to have to rewatch now.
I'm definitely going to rewatch it during the watch of this show, because that movie, than anything else, like cemented my love for the character of Wednesday Addams. And I just love Joan Cusack. Miss Debbie, it's Deborah.
Well, it looks like we're finally going to be able to leave Jericho for a bit. Principal Wims.
It's called Jericho.
Yeah, it's the home of Pilgrim World. Like, it's, of course, first of all, the call to pilgrims, so great.
Yes.
The fact that Principal Wims and Wednesday are driving into town in a Toyota Previa, which is a minivan from like the 90s. Like, the one time my parents were shopping for minivans, I memorized like all of the different types of minivans. I was like, what are you doing driving this old Toyota Previa? But anyway, they're going into town, and Principal Wims is dropping Wednesday off for therapy.
Yes.
And the therapist is played by Ricky Lindholm, who is from Garfunkel and Oates fame and a bunch of other things that you've seen around town. But yeah, then Wednesday goes to therapy. What did you think about this?
I think that Wednesday has finally kind of met her match in this therapist, because this therapist does her homework.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's read Wednesday's novels. All three of them.
Picks up on a theme.
Yeah. It's all about the relationship between Viper is the name.
Viper de la Muerte. Viper of Death, basically.
Yes. And her mother. And so, yeah, that they want to, she wants to unpack that in the therapy session. And Wednesday kind of immediately excuses herself to the powder room.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the little escape here. She's like, she's just like a little like judo master.
Oh my gosh. So she's got thing in her backpack. She's like, yo, thing, I need the nail file. Let me pick this window, jump out the window, slide down the gutter, and then right. just like conveniently walk behind the Toyota Previa with the Principal Wims in it, who's just on, the phone, not paying attention. And she makes
away. Who was she talking to on that phone call? What's going on? I have so many questions about that woman.
But on her little escape, she ends up like touching the Apple Man, basically, and sees a vision of how he's gonna die.
Warn him.
Yes. Yeah. And again, she's like, again, violently, her head goes back. Like, this is like an experience for her. And she's like, okay. And makes her way over to the coffee shop, Weathervane, where this experience has told her she needs a quad over ice.
Wow. That is a lot of caffeine.
I don't think I've ever ordered. I've had cold brew. Cold brew nitro is like the most extreme caffeine I've gotten, but quad over ice I have yet to get into myself.
Neither have I. The only time I had cold brew, I felt like I was flying through the air with the greatest of ease. Like it was truly a mind altering experience. And I don't understand how anyone gets worked on it, because it just made me want to be really chatty. I was just like, okay, I just want to have a conversation.
Well, LaTanya, somewhere in between that and drip, I think, is where we need to be, because drip is for people who hate themselves, apparently.
I agree. I always wonder, and I'm sorry, I'm sure there's at least like 5 people in our audience that this is gonna hit, but like, if you're not making it at home, which is different, I think. I always wonder about the people who just come into a coffee shop and just go straight to the drip coffee.
I will just tell you, I achieved my Starbucks gold status on tall.
Yeah.
Drip coffee. Because I just was like, it's a dollar something. Let me get up those stars. Let me get up to that status.
Yeah.
So I had a strategy behind that. That was before they changed the point system for the Starbucks people who are listening. This was before the change.
They changed
of what,
the point system?
When I first got it, yes. I forget what it was.
Because you used to get way
different.
Too much free stuff.
Yes. And your birthday drink would also last you a whole week. And then now it's just on your birthday. I could have a whole podcast about this. But anyway. Yeah.
I think we might need to. When I have a drip coffee.
And the reason she can't get this coffee is because the espresso machine is like steaming out. The barista's right. like, you know, I can only get you drip because I can't make you an espresso right now. And she's like, give me the book.
Yeah.
Because this is all in Italian. And of course she can read Italian because it is the native language of Machiavelli. Uh-huh. Obviously.
That is why I would learn it. That and the attractive men. I also just came up with a title for our drip coffee podcast.
Oh, what's that called?
Came through dripping.
Stay tuned, folks. Stay tuned.
Drip, drip.
This is where we are introduced to Tyler, the barista. Tyler calls Wednesday the Grim Reaper Barbie. There's also like some flirting happening.
There's a little bit of flirtation going on. It apparently is sexy when a woman can fix a thing.
I mean, yes.
Which
obviously.
Is why I'll never be sexy. but yeah, she did fix that like quite easily. And kind of saved the day because he had no idea what the hell he was doing.
Yeah.
And like later, and I know we'll talk about this, she wins him over completely.
She does. Yeah. And I think like, but he also has a little bit of effect on her because she wants, of course, everyone needs to help Wednesday escape. Right.
Right.
So he's like, she's like, okay, for payment, will you take me to the train station so that I can get out of here? And he's like, yeah, but you have to wait till after my shift is done. And right. she's like, well, I'll give you $20. I'll give you $40. He's like, one thing you need to know about me is I can't be bought. And so she's right. like, ooh, a challenge.
Exactly.
You're putting here, Mr. Tyler. All right.
Very much a challenge. They do challenge each other. And it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see the inevitable love triangle that forms between coffee barista guy is what I call him.
Yeah. Tyler.
And, Yeah, Tyler, and then the guy that saves her from the gargoyle.
Xavier.
Those are just great names, like for teenage crushes, don't you
right?
think?
Right?
Really, really well done. Tyler Galpin, we learn, is the son of the police chief.
Yes.
Sheriff Donovan Galpin, played by Jamie McShane.
Yes.
Who I was like, who is this actor? The whole time I was like, he looks so familiar. And the answer is Sons of Anarchy and like Gone Girl.
The series got a lot of people.
It did. Right? Yeah.
There's a lot of people in here.
Yeah.
Well, Wednesday's enjoying her coffee. They're actual pilgrims, people like walking around this thing. Like, I could not believe it. And they're like, we work at Pilgrim World. And she's like, it takes a certain kind of stupid to create a theme park devoted to zealots responsible for genocide.
Yes.
And then this black guy says, my dad owns Pilgrim World. And I'm like, are you in what universe is this happening?
What are you saying about this? This is ridiculous. Your dad does not own Pilgrim World. Are you joking?
But that whole interaction was very interesting to me. And of course, Wednesday has to turn it into a fight. They end up getting into a fight. Yeah. And she takes him down.
It's not even a fight. It's more just like watching three guys get their asses handed to them by a 90-pound teenager.
Yes.
It's pretty fantastic. It's great that she learned so much martial arts from her uncle. Who was held prisoner
in a Tibetan monastery. I'm assuming this is Fester, right? Like this
has to be Fester. Yeah. We haven't met any other Adam's uncle.
This is true.
It has to be Fester.
That's true. And this is where the fight is happening. Principal Weems comes in to collect Wednesday. And this is where Tyler's dad, who's also there as the sheriff, is like, hey, wait a minute. Are you an Adams? Because your dad should totally be behind bars for murder. And she's like, wait, what? What now?
Yeah, so. That is a shocking reveal to get when you are a child.
I mean, anytime, really. I mean, unless you like really know what dad's up to, I would hope that would be a shock for most people if they had news at some point. But that does add like another. So we got the monster in the woods, and we got is Gomez a murderer happening?
Right. And we got Gomez's file that we still haven't gotten to see.
Yeah. There's some mysteries happening.
There's going to be a murder board. Murder board. Murder board.
We get back in the Toyota Previa and go back to Nevermore. And, Principal Weems has, some advice for her. She says, stop making enemies, start making friends, which is, like a thing. And they pass Apple Guy, and Wednesday knows what's happened because she saw in the villa in her vision.
Yeah. And that was disturbing.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, because it was like a major neck situation happening.
Huge neck situation going on. Just really disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Wednesday's had a day, and she goes home, and she decides to play Paint It Black on the cello.
Amazing.
It was so good.
And I was so happy when I was like, yes, play Paint It Black on the cello. Do it.
Or as Enid calls it, the oversized violin.
The oversized violin. Oh, that Enid is a card.
She is. We get this like nice little montage while the song is going. Like all of these people are like thinking about Wednesday or in like connected to Wednesday at some point while she's playing this. At the end of her little solo, she's like, there's something wrong about this place, and it's not just because it's a school.
There is something just off about the whole vibe of the place.
Yeah.
And that's not just me talking, and siding with Wednesday here. It's just there does, in addition to the massive monster and the fact that all of the students there have some form of supernatural power, there's something else creepy in the underbelly of this place.
I mean, I think it's weird that there's one room that's that big for those two girls.
I know.
Like, what happened there? Like,
that is not how even college dorm rooms are. But you're going to a boarding school in New England, right? is where they are.
I mean, yes, but like Hogwarts even had more kids in their rooms. That's all I'm.
Yeah, this is like this is very much a Hogwarts situation that we have going on here.
Yeah, yeah. We also find out this is where Enid comes and tells Wednesday that, you know, like, because there's a full moon and they hear all of the other werewolves wolfing out, and mm-hmm. Enid cannot join in because she's a late bloomer, which means if she never fully blooms, she'll become a lone wolf. That's which is so sad. But Wednesday empathetically says, "We all die alone, Enid." Like, this is like 100% what my dad would tell me. We all die alone, Marissa. Like, you're get over
not
it.
Not wrong, but like, can I have a little like sympathy maybe about anything ever? Thank you.
Enid asks Wednesday, you know, like, hey, when was the last time you cried? Because Enid's crying at this point. And we learn that Wednesday has cried once in her life. When she was 6 years old, after Halloween, she was ambushed by bullies when she was taking her best scorpion out, Nero, and they ran him over.
I know. So the idea of having a pet scorpion aside.
On a leash.
On a leash.
Going for a walk.
Like a literal freak on a leash. Going for a walk. It's like people who walk cats. Have you seen the video that has been floating around Twitter of the man who walks his duck?
No, but I do know someone who has a duck and walks their duck.
Really? Wow. Yes. Oof. So yeah.
In the suburbs, Latan.
Okay, it makes sense. It really like yeah, suburbia is wild. American Idiot was right. So basically, I am terrified of anything creepy crawly, and the idea of having a ginormous scorpion that's big enough to put a leash on is terrifying to me. But it just so cruel for those kids to literally kill her pet.
Yeah, and like she says, it was snowing the day I was able to bury what was left of him.
Yeah.
And like that's when she realized like tears don't fix anything, so she vowed never to do it again. Right. Which is something if you have thought can be unpacked in therapy.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm excited that she is going to therapy.
I'm glad that she's going to therapy, and I'm glad it seems like Ricky Lundholm's character is, she's rather highly billed. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be seeing a lot of her, and it's just great to unpack trauma in therapy.
I love it.
I know that you're a fan of trauma. Always not have really, been, always will be. Nope. Trauma lover. Noted trauma lover.
I mean, it's one thing that brought us all together as humans. Yes,
that's very true. That and our love of walking our scorpion on a fine Monday morning.
So they had a little bonding moment, Enid and Wednesday. And this is where, you know, it's like, it's okay that you cried. I still think you're weird as shit, though.
Yeah.
Thanks, being real. Being real, Enid. And this is where Wednesday's like, hey, if you want your room back, just teach me how to use your computer. And I'm like, what are you up to?
Yeah.
Well, turns out she's up to talking with Tyler. So Thing like climbs up and finds his way up into Tyler's room. How scary would this be, LaTanya? Like if you had
my God. This,
like
I would lose it. I would absolutely lose it. Like the mere idea of something like that showing up at my window, like knocking on your window.
Yeah.
I would have just run. I would have run away as quickly as I could. And I get that it's Thing. So he could probably chase you down, but like, you have to think, how fast could a hand really run?
You don't know. You don't know. Yeah. It's a hand. I've never encountered a hand.
No. I've never encountered a hand, Your Honor.
I don't know what that's like.
Especially like a creepy Frankenstein hand.
Right? Right? Yeah.
Like, and he's just like, sit down.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like doing his little like sign language Morse code communication situation.
Yeah.
And Tyler's like, okay, I'm taking orders from a hand now. All right. And that's
this is
when
what happens when you let Wednesday Addams into your life.
Yeah. Thing opens up its palm and it says, call me, phone number. It's Wednesday. Which I thought was great. So what she really meant though was FaceTime me, basically, because she gets on a video call. At this point, Tyler has called Thing a pet, to which Thing had its own response to, because
was not happy about it.
did not like it. And this is where Wednesday is trying to convince Tyler to help her escape yet again. There's this thing called the Harvest Festival, and maybe they can meet up there and Tyler can drive her to the train station. And we kind of learn here too that Tyler wishes he could go with Wednesday. He wants to escape as well.
It's you know, if I lived in a town where Pilgrim World was a thing,
I cannot wait, because my historical thesis for everything in America is blame it on the Puritans. I cannot wait see some of this unravel at Pilgrim World.
She's totally like, that's the thing that you have to think of. It's just like, what kind of programming do you think they put on at Pilgrim World? Like, are the rides just like, you know, and games just like, who can throw a smallpox blanket on this native person the fastest? Like, what are you doing at Pilgrim World, sir?
I hope there's some honest conversations with that, as much as one can.
I can only imagine that there has to be, given what we've seen of Wednesday in the second movie. Like, one of the reasons why that is one of my favorite movies from growing up.
Yes. Yeah. I know. When I first saw the sign for Jericho, I said, get your matches ready, because this is happening.
Yeah.
So Tyler agrees to help her at the Harvest Festival. The Harvest Festival is like any other fall festival carnival situation. Enid and Wednesday are there with the watching eyes of Principal Weems. Mm-hmm. And Enid asks Wednesday, you know, are you sure you can trust this guy? Which I thought was so cute. Like, oh my gosh, now you're friends. And Wednesday's like, I trust that I can handle myself. Wabam. Like,
right. Yeah. And we've seen that happen before. But no one ever expects, A, the Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah, I was gonna say the Spanish Inquisition.
Or B, you have superpowers and you can make me float and like bang me against a tree. That phrasing.
Hold me up against a tree.
Hold me up against a tree. Yeah, there we go. That's better.
We also learn at the Harvest Festival Wednesday's really good at darts, which I just picked up in case we need to know later. But this is where she meets up with Tyler. Tyler actually has done some research on his own and has Gomez's police file and gives that to Wednesday. And it's like, hey, before we escape out of here, I wanted to give you this. And that's when some goons show up. So, of course, we have to run through the crowd, as one does when trying to escape.
Hired goons.
This is where we run into Rowan. You know, asthmatic, glasses wearing Rowan.
I know.
Just then up and, like you said, throws her up against the tree.
And not in a good way.
And not in a good way. It's like high up there. Like high up there.
And it's all alone could have killed her.
Yeah. It turns out that Rowan believes, because his mom told him, because she's a big seer, that Wednesday is going to come to Nevermore, and when she does, you have to kill her, otherwise she will destroy the school and everyone in it. So what choice does Rowan have here? Like that's what he had to do.
My mom was a powerful seer. Okay, cool, don't murder me though, thanks.
Well, that, like, she did not get murdered, thankfully, but he kind of got the you know, she had, once they had seen a vision of Rowan before, where there was a raven attacking Rowan in the Pentagon quad. And so she was like going to warn him. That's why she was like running. That's how they actually became in the same proximity of each other during the Harvest Festival. But it turns out that that's not how Rowan goes. I don't know if he's dead. I'm assuming he's dead. He looked dead,
but
we didn't see like a body bag or anything.
Right. Yeah. He looked pretty dead. I feel for Wednesday because, you know, she's like the sole person at the scene of the crime other than this monster. And, you know, there's already the stigma against her and anyone else that goes to that school. So, yeah, I'm interested in finding out who this monster is. And yeah, then what like kind of monster is it?
It's like a straight up monster.
Yeah, it was hairy, but also like Gollum facey.
At first, I thought it was Enid. I was like, did Enid finally bloom? Right. She has come to save Wednesday.
Right.
But like, I don't know. It could be. But that was like some vicious work by that monster.
Yeah. That was horrifying.
That was not rainbows and sparkly nails.
No.
And Lisa Frank all over the place.
No, it was not. And Wednesday, it takes a lot to take Wednesday off guard, you know? And she was like straight up shocked by everything that was happening. So yeah, I'm interested in learning all about this. I'm sure that we'll learn a lot more, but I would like to know more immediately now.
Well, as soon as this pod is done, we can start the second
episode. That's true.
Which brings us to the last scene of this episode. She's back at school. She's getting her little crystal ball call from the family. And they're like, so how was the first week of school? And she's reviewing like all of the things that have happened. You know, like she almost died. Someone thinks I'm going to blow up the school, like all of these things. But she ends up just telling them, you know what, Mom, I think you're right. I think I'm going to love it here.
I think I'm going to like it here. It would have become a musical if it weren't Wednesday.
Was there an Addams Family musical? There might have been.
I don't know if there was. That's from Annie.
I know that is. But no, in 2010, there was an Addams Family musical with Nathan Lane at B.B. New Earth in it.
What?
Yeah. Like, this, I'm telling you, this family has been everywhere.
Nathan Lane's filmography / like, you know, the plays that he's Broadwayography. His CV is ridiculous.
His ography.
His ography. Yeah. Nathan Lane's ography. A new series by LaTanya Starks and Marissa Garza. Followed quickly by Came Through Drippin'.
Drip, drip.
Drip, drip.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I think I am going to love it here on this pod. LaTanya, anything else from this episode that we didn't cover or things you're looking forward to that you have yet to mention?
I'm very excited about podcasting with you again.
Oh, thank you.
I had such a fun time with the bear.
Much different. This vibe is much different.
Can you imagine Wednesday in that kitchen? I mean, Thing would be a great help.
Oh, totally. Yeah. But I would also love to see Richie at Nevermore.
Exactly. He would fit in so well. I'm looking forward to, because they did the little like this season on after.
Yeah,
before the credits. I'm looking forward to obviously finding out the central mystery, the murder board and what it's all about. These other victims, in addition to the camper that we saw this time. And it was interesting. I was wondering if the camper was a vampire, because when the camper poured their beverage from the thermos, it was very red.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was like his blood or blood from the thermos.
Right. Me either. I'm interested in all that. Getting to know these characters more. The inevitable team up that happens between Wednesday and Bianca. Is that her name's Bianca, right?
Thanks. So let me scroll back.
Brianna?
Bianca. Yeah.
Bianca. Okay. Bianca Barclay. That's a great name.
Yeah, seems like Bianca Barclay would totally go to boarding school.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just like, I'm loving the vibes, you know, like I'm happy to have a spooky season all year round. As you know about me, I love Halloween and all things like supernatural. So I'm just excited to see what all is going to happen and just how visually stunning the show is going to be. Because even from what we've seen so far, with the exception maybe of the rendering of the monster's face, everything has been great. So, yeah.
I mean,
what are you looking forward to?
I think this episode totally set us up for a lot. So I'm looking forward to seeing it all come together. Like, is the monster connected to the murder?
Right.
Is, you know, what is Gomez? Does Gomez have something more, like looking for more from his performance, but just like more to his story behind
right.
that? And what does, you know, what's between Morticia and Principal Weems? Like, what's going
like
on there? I would like to see, you know, Tyler kind of maybe like be a muggle and come to Nevermore. You know, there's a lot of potential here. I am enjoying like the depth of character that we're getting mm-hmm. to Wednesday. I think, you know, if you're going to pick a character from the Addams Family to give us, yes. Wednesday is definitely the right choice.
Exactly.
And I'm really enjoying kind of getting to spend some time with her. And
yeah.
See, you know, what's in her head around this time.
Can you imagine if the show is called Pugsley?
I mean, that's probably like a Saturday morning cartoon special, but yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
Well, we will be back here in this feed in about 2 days' time where we'll take on episode two. Like I said, we're doing this episode by episode. There's 8 total episodes, 2 weeks. So we'll be here with you for like the next month or so. So, or if you're saving these all till the end of the binge, you just find us one right after another.
Yeah.
But outside of this podcast feed, LaTanya, where can people find other things you're working on?
Well, very soon they're going to find both of us on Nothing But Netflix.
I know.
With Rob Sestrinino and Chappelle.
What do you think we're talking about?
I don't know. It's on a Sunday, so it couldn't be Wednesday. It is Wednesday. We're going to be talking all about Wednesday. The first couple episodes, I think, and just kind of chopping it up with those two. It's going to be a lot of fun, so please tune into that. You can find me on the aforementioned Shit 90 Shows Taught Me podcast, where we discussed the Addams Family and it all just tied in very well with what we're doing here. Just a lot of great cross promotion happening for this podcast.
We appreciate all of the support.
You can catch me on the final Andor podcast.
You're not doing an Andor episode?
Andor, not the final. I mean, it's really not the final podcast, but
yeah.
I can't ruin too much about it. I'll be talking about Andor for a bit.
Okay.
And other Star Wars related things that are coming up. And at some point in the near future, very recently, I just recorded episode 1 of season 5 of The Crown with Grace, filling in for Shannon Gus. And then Sarah Ferguson and I, the Duchess herself, covered the entire season of The Crown. Nice little like 2-hour podcast for you if you've already binged, because we binged twice to do that podcast. And I will be coming back onto the show, the episodic show, with Grace and Shannon.
Thank you.
With Grace and Shannon, where we're going to be discussing the season as a whole and, you know, what we liked, what we didn't like. Spoiler alert, there is a lot more that I did not like about this season. This is the worst season of The Crown, in my humble opinion. And they had so much to work with. But that's not what this podcast is about. You can find me for the time being still on Twitter at LK Starks, because I've always been interested in watching a regime fall and I've never gotten the opportunity to do so until now. You can also find me on Instagram at Stormborn1222, and I'm likely going to reactivate my Tumblr as well and get some writing done and put some stuff up. So when I do that, I'll be sure to let you know. What are you up to, Marissa?
Well, I am hanging out in Nevermore with you for the next couple weeks, and also talking about the big questions behind Media and Pedia on Mediapedia that comes out every other week.
Mostly talking about Pedia.
Mainly about the Pedia. That is a patron-only podcast that you can get if you join us as a Po Show Recaps patron, which you can do so at poshowrecaps.com/patron or patreon.com/poshowrecaps. We make it really easy. At any level, you'll get access to our exclusive podcasts. There's Mediapedia, and there's also Huey, the Doctor Who podcast happening on that feed as well. So if you're into that, we invite you to join us over there.
Such a Kevin and Melissa title.
Yes.
I love it so much.
And I got some other things coming up. So if you're interested in that, you can catch me on Twitter as long as it's there at Mars Bars, MARZBRS. And I'll probably end up on Tumblr again too. I don't know.
We all are. Maybe we'll join the Hive. I've seen a lot of people head into the Hive. I don't know anything about it, but
we'll see.
You know, but we'll see.
For pending announcements, Twitter is probably where I will tell you where that will be.
Drip, drip.
Until then, we'll catch you on the next one. Until then, stay spooky.